Chapter 7 Mos Eisley, Tatooine. She was 11, dirty, too skinny, and too clever for her own good, or so her master told her. Her name was Kitaya Shul, and she was a slave. Inserted just below her shoulder blade was a subcutaneous chip that transmitted a signal. Her master, Trugo the Hutt, could tell where she was at any time of the day or night, and she knew she was monitored nearly constantly. If Trugo didn't like where she was, he would order that the chip be detonated, and Kitaya would no longer be dirty, too skinny, or too clever for her own good. She would be a messy, gooey collection of small pieces of flesh and bone. That didn't stop her. Fortunately, one of the duties Trugo liked to utilize her for was the occasional, more than occasional, round of espionage. He had done his best to teach her several languages, making his other slaves teach her everything they knew. Kit could speak 4 different languages and comprehend 8 more. Her human ear could understand certain languages when spoken, but her human tongue could not replicate them. It was ironic that while conducting her service to her master, she was also plotting his downfall. Slavery was an institution as old as there were sentient beings. In the days of the Republic, Tatooine was too far afield to warrant the enforcement of the anti-slavery laws. And now, in the era of the Galactic Alliance, because it had not joined said alliance, there were no anti-slavery laws to enforce at all. Tatooine, as it had for most of its history, was left to take care of itself. And Kit wanted to be among those who would take care of the institution of slavery. It had begun with books, smuggled to her on chips or encoded among repair manuals on datapads. Poetry, history, fiction, or truth, Kit drank it all in, as thirstily as she drank water on this arid world. Stories of revolutions and of peaceful negotiations, accounts of brutalities and unspeakable kindnesses, tales of the individual and tales of a society, all inspired her. Then, she began keeping in contact with certain individuals who had business here. And they often conducted their business in locales where Trugo sent Kit to spy. For a while, Kit had held her breath, certain that at some point she would be discovered, would find out when it was too late that the being she was sent to eavesdrop on was one of her contacts. They called themselves the Freedom Flight. Their burning passion was to eliminate slavery throughout the galaxy, not just on those worlds whose leaders had enough integrity to do so themselves. Sometimes they were able to help fund planetary representatives who would work to bring about change. Other times, the organization, if such a term could be applied to something so mysterious and elusive, functioned on more of a personal level, helping individuals to escape and finding them new lives and identities elsewhere. Those involved in such activities were called pilots, and the routes they took were called flight paths. The flight paths had several stops, and most pilots knew only their small portion of the route to freedom for the slaves they transported. It was safer that way if anyone was ever caught. Kit couldn't escape. Technology, it would seem, kept up with the slave trade, and every time it looked like someone had figured out how to deactivate the transmitter, a new, improved one would be invented. She'd resigned herself to that. Besides, her life was not as bad as that of others she had heard tell of. She at least was beaten only if she disappointed her master. And she had enough food most of the time. Kit knew she could help best if she stayed here, on Tatooine, owned by a giant slug. Kit swept up a lock of dirty, unkempt black hair behind her ear, and hurried on bare, calloused feet to the appointment site. She had no fear of being recognized. She was not a well-known slave, as she had few interactions with the public. The most basic of disguises, hair coloring or a wig, cleaned up or scruffy, posture, simple prosthetics, made her look different each time. She moved swiftly, not quite running so as not to attract attention, through the streets of the spaceport. There were people out even at this hour, for Mos Eisley knew no curfew. Curfews were bad for business, of all kinds.